A city's food culture extends far beyond the walls of its restaurants. The connections between chefs, farmers, food producers, distributors, and customers are a big part of the character of a community. Our guest knows those relationships in Madison intimately and wants to help us understand why it matters where our food comes from. Lindsay Christians is a food editor and arts writer for the Cap Times and author of the new book, Madison Chefs, Stories of Food, Farms, and People. Lindsay, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, how would you describe the Madison food scene to people who are not familiar with the area?
I would describe the Madison food scene as being very connected to the farms that are around us. So one of the biggest influences on the chefs that I profiled in this book is the Dane County Farmers Market, which is the largest producer-only farmers market in the country. And the relationships between the chefs and some of these very specific farms are sort of what drove my interest in the book to begin with.
And you write that, you know, there was a big trend that came up on the coast some years back of this farm-to-table local food kind of stuff. It was kind of a natural for an area like South Central Wisconsin.
Absolutely. And I would say that the trend of farm-to-table, if we want to call it that, is it was almost simultaneous with L'Etoile here in Madison, Wisconsin. It came up right around the time of Chez Panisse and Alice Waters. So the connections were always there. I do think that the term farm-to-table has been a little bit greenwashed, which is to say you see a lot of people using it that don't really practice it anymore. But I do think that connection of, you know, getting things from this local food shed and then making really wonderful things with it is something that has very deep roots in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you meant just use the word connection, and that seems like a real running theme in this book. It's not just this chef, this restaurant buys stuff from this farmer. They really seem to know each other, and they're talking about what are you growing or what cheese are you making or whatever. Can you talk about just some of those personal connections that are uniting, you know, countryside farmers and producers to these city restaurants?
Oh, for sure. So one of my favorite connections in the book is between Tammy Lax, who is the chef and the owner of Harvest, as well as the Old Fashioned in Madison, and Richard DeWild, who owns Harmony Valley Farm, which is out in the Viroqua area of Wisconsin. They've known each other for decades now. Tammy worked at L'Etoile before she opened Harvest, and she was the forager. So that means both literally and a little bit more figuratively, right? But she's a literal forager. She goes out into the woods and she'll find mushrooms and all kinds of wonderful things. But she also has this really close connection with Richard. So for example, if something happens to a crop where it doesn't turn out, or they have extra of something, when you have those close relationships between the farmer and a chef or someone who has a restaurant, they can say, you know what, you've got all these extra peppers, we can take them and we're going to turn them into, you know, this preserved thing, or we're going to turn them into a sauce that we can freeze. They can work together really deliberately. That was also very true for Underground Food Collective, which unfortunately is no longer, but had a huge impact in the Madison area just on, again, those connections between farms and restaurants, and then by extension, the diners who become more accustomed to seeing different varieties of peppers or a preserved garlic that is something where we have an abundance of a certain crop that we can then preserve for dishes long to come after that.
I'm really curious about, you've observed a lot of these chefs and their farmers at work. If I open a restaurant, and I'm not gonna, but if I open a restaurant, my specialty is broccoli soup, and I'm always gonna have broccoli soup, but that means I'm committed to getting broccoli, whatever the season, whatever the state is. How do these chefs kind of flex their recipes and change what they serve to say, hey, we're not always gonna serve the same thing. We're gonna serve the best that's out there right now.
So one of the restaurants that really worked with this in a really deliberate way is Salvatore's Tomato Pies. There's a Salvatore's in Sun Prairie is where they opened, but then there are also locations now in Madison and Monona as well. Salvatore's is a pizza place, right? So you have your sort of standard pizzas that you always are going to have. And Patrick DiPullo, who's the owner there, he knows that he's going to need X amount of this like locally milled flour, then also with other kinds of flour mixed in there, but he's sourcing locally on some of these core ingredients that he has. So like the burrata and some of the mozzarella cheese and things that they have there. But then what is actually on top of the pizzas He has some that are really intensely seasonal, and you'll see, you know, more root vegetables or things like that in this time of year than you will maybe in other parts of the year. But he's using the pizza almost like a canvas. Like, this is a stable part of it, a consistent thing. But then what's going to go on the top of it, maybe he's going to use microgreens from Vitruvian Farms and McFarland, or he's going to use, you know, certain peppers or mushrooms or other things that he's either finding at the market or preserving. And I think having that consistent element as well as the flexible element is really important if sourcing locally is important to you and you happen to have a restaurant in the upper Midwest where it is winter a good chunk of the year. You really have to be flexible.
Talking to Lindsay Christians, author of the new book, Madison Chefs, Stories of Food, Farms, and People. We're talking about the connections that chefs make with farmers and other food producers and distributors. One story that struck me, Lindsay, and I think this is L'Etoile, a restaurant in Madison, in the early days, going out to local farmers, realizing our restaurant's too small to, you know, pay the farmers enough money to keep the supply going. So actually helping them make connections with bigger Chicago restaurants. It was in their self-interest to help other restaurants tap into the same source lines.
Yeah. The thing with local food and sourcing locally in a really deliberate and consistent way, you have to be, as we sort of said, more flexible. But then there's also the issue of quantity. So no one restaurant usually is going to be able to buy all of the squash that a farm grows. For one, like, it's all coming kind of at the same time or around the same time, right? So you also have to have other restaurants that are on board with that, on board with the unpredictability a little bit. Like, there's a chance that if you're a broccoli soup restaurant and all the broccoli, you know, gets a disease or is flooded out or something happens, right, that you have to be flexible that way. But also just being able to say, you're going to grow this many onions. We can only take this many because this is the size of our restaurant. So we need to have more of a collaborative, more of a collective commitment to supporting these farms and to saying that this is an important way of how we want to eat and how we want to not only develop but sustain a local food shed in that way.
How about on the farmer side of the equation, Lindsay? I mean, one way to farm is to do a lot of a particular commodity, whether that's milk or soy or corn or whatever, sell it to one big supplier, know that they can count on usually selling it to that one big supplier. Are there a lot of farmers out there willing to kind of custom make and mix and match for these local restaurants?
Yeah, so there are pros and cons of diversity, right? I think we know about the pros. You know, you have a lot of different kinds of things. If one crop doesn't work, you've got all the rest of your crop to rely on. But there are also economies of scale that it would be unwise to ignore. If you are really good at growing sweet potatoes, or you're really good at growing onions or something like that, it does make sense to do that really well. Say you're going to grow organic onions, do a lot of that. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad thing. I know a lot of farms do CSA, and they talk about that as being like a master's degree in farming, because when you're doing CSA, you really do have to be pretty diverse. But a lot of the restaurants that relied on connections with restaurants, or a lot of the farms that relied on connections with restaurants these past couple years, have really had a tough go of it. So CSA has kind of come surging back over the last 2 years because of the pandemic. And I think we're seeing some of those relationships between farms and restaurants shift a bit, and also the value, you know, among diners and eaters for things like CSA go up because of, you know, the supply chain issues that are also affected by the pandemic, right? So I do think it's interesting to think about, if you can do something really well, like one thing, that's not necessarily bad. But making sure that we are sustaining the soil and the things that will allow that to be sustainable is also something important, I think, to keep in mind.
And just our last minute, Lindsay, there's a lot of talk about urban-rural divides in our culture. There's literally been a book written about resentment from rural Wisconsin pointed toward Madison. In looking at these relationships you track in your book, do you see this community that transcends some of those divides that are out there?
I think it does. I think there was a phrase that Therese Allen mentioned early on in our interviews about rooted cosmopolitanism. And I like this idea of us having roots that through these connections with farms, these restaurants that may be in urban areas can really make those connections, can make those kinds of relationships and to help us understand each other on both sides.
We'll leave it there. Lindsay, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lindsay Christians is a food editor and arts writer for the Cap Times. She joined us today to talk about her new book. It's called Madison Chefs: Stories of Food, Farms, and People.